He wrote us letters back and forth because that was before the days of email even. It was BC, before computers. He wrote us one letter telling about a wedding reception he had gone to the previous Saturday night. He said the service, the reception started at about 7 o'clock, and they had drinks, and then they had more drinks, and then they had desserts, and then they had more drinks, and then they had the meal around 10 o'clock at night, and then they had more drinks, and more drinks, and more drinks. And he said he finally left at 4 o'clock in the morning, and the party was still going on strong. We lived in Pittsburgh at the time, and there were a lot of Slovaks in the city of Pittsburgh, Slovak Lutheran churches in the Slovak Synod. They had come over during the heydays of mining and industrialization. And there was one older Slovak pastor. I told that story to him, and he got very serious. And he said to me, "You have to realize that under communism, our people in Slovakia had very little joy, very few things to be happy about. So when they did have an occasion, like a wedding celebration, they pulled out all the stops and they celebrated and celebrated and celebrated." The only good thing about that is that under communism, hardly anybody had automobiles, so they could drink and drink and drink and didn't have to worry about drunk driving because they had a walk home. And my son told some stories about seeing people lying on the sidewalk. He thought the Good Samaritan, he shouldn't walk by them, but then he realized that they were simply intoxicated from so much drinking. But the point was that weddings are important occasions. They're fun times. And in Slovakia, when an important event like a wedding took place, they pulled out all the stops and they had a lot of fun. And so was it with the Jews. Am I losing my microphone? I am. So it was with the Jews in Israel. They were under an occupying force, just as the Russians were occupying Slovakia. The Jews were occupied by the Romans. And when they had an opportunity to celebrate, they really celebrated. But then long before the celebration was over, they realized that they had not ordered enough wine. It was a terrible embarrassment for the host. And you all know what happened next. When his mother approached Jesus and told him they have no wine, he said, "My hour has not yet come." But Mary, realizing that when his hour would come, he would do something, said to those stewards, the waiters at the meal, said, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it." So then Jesus felt that his hour had come, and he ordered them to fill 6 big stone jars, each holding 20 to 30 gallons of water, fill them with water, and then take some out and give it to the master of the banquet. And when they did, they discovered that the water was no longer water, but was indeed wine. And not just some cheap Mogan David or two-buck chuck wine, but it was a good wine. A very good wine, a very, very good wine. John tells us that each of those 6 stone jars held 20 to 30 gallons of water. 6 times 20 or 30, that's 120 to 150 gallons of wine. That is a lot of wine, even if the whole village is invited to the wedding party. Far more than the partygoers needed. And I think this is the point where we learn something from this miracle about Jesus and something about his heavenly Father. When he tasted the wine, the master of the feast noticed that this was such a good wine, and he made the observation that most people serve the good wine first. And then after people have been drinking for a while, their palate is not quite so sensitive, then they bring out the cheap stuff, the Mogan David, the two-buck chuck. But now this wine that Jesus made, this is the good wine, as they are now serving the best wine last. At this point, it might be good for us to ask the question that all of us learned in Luther's small catechism. What does this mean? What does this mean? To me, this means that the God who Jesus reveals to us is a God of extravagant generosity. Our God is an extravagant and a generous God. More than just generous, he is extravagant in his generosity. We see this in other places in the Gospels as well. Remember the parable Jesus told about a man who hired workers at 6 a.m., 9 a.m., noon, 3 in the afternoon, and 5 o'clock. And then at 6 o'clock, when the 12-hour working day was done, he paid them money, paid them all the same amount. And some of those who had started working at 6 a.m. grumbled that those who started working at 5 p.m. got paid the same amount that they did. And the landowner said to them, "Are you angry at me because I am generous? Because I am generous to other people?" One time, a woman anointed Jesus with a very expensive perfume. And the disciples got upset. They said, "This could have been sold for hundreds of dollars and given to the poor." And Jesus praised the woman for her generous and extravagant giving and the way she worshiped him with her gift.